Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Encounter is a new psychological sci-fi thriller starring Riz Ahmed as a father desperately trying to save his kids from a mysterious alien invasion. But the story becomes more sinister, mysterious, and ambivalent as the film progresses. I had the opportunity to chat with Michael Pierce, its director, over a Zoom session. Let's take a listen.
I watched the film. I thought it was great. And there's so much that I want to ask you, but I kind of just wanted to start off with this blending of reality and genre and the real with the imagined, in this case, the sci-fi genre. What is the potential that you like to explore in mixing these two?
I think, I'm drawn to films that have one foot in a kind of observational reality and one in a subjective reality. I feel like it always feels like a new experience watching those movies. And I return to them a lot. Like I rewatched Mulholland Drive again the other day because I feel like I'm still trying to understand through whose eyes I'm experiencing the film and what is real and what isn't. And I just think, yeah, there's something really fascinating about doing that as you're doing a character portrait of someone who isn't sure what's real and what isn't. And what we were trying to do with this film is make a few kind of perceptual shifts so that the audience's investment in the character and their relationship with the character is becoming more complicated as the film goes on. Mm. I suppose, you know, the journey that you go on with Riz's character is thinking of him as a kind of hero to save, you know, that saving his children. And then he becomes something of potentially a villain, and by the end of the film he's an anti-hero, and it's a much more complicated character. So I think it just gives you a lot of room as a director to show the most complex version of your character when you're playing with those different perceptual shifts.
Yeah, well, that's definitely something that I'm going to want to return to as well, because he is very complex character. But also when I think of Beast too, I'm also noticing a similarity in the sense that these are characters that seem to be outsiders in a sense. And I wondered whether you, seen as you're also the writer, in this case, the co-screenwriter of the film, I wonder whether there's a side of you that finds it easy to connect with these, with this type of personality, or maybe there's something that interests you in particular with these types of existences too.
Yeah, maybe I'm drawn to, characters that are on the periphery in some way, but I think that's also the same for audiences because, you know, deep down, everyone thinks of themselves somehow as an outsider. I don't know why that is, but we all identify with the outsider. There's always a part of us that has felt like that person at one stage or not in our life. And so maybe it just creates a very strong and immediate empathetic bond with that person. You know, there's a certain level of empathy that you invest in the person that, yeah, is on the periphery and is going through difficulty. I think that's part of it. But it's not really strategic in a way. It's not because I'm thinking like it's an easy route to get an audience's empathy. It's also a response to the material that I read and stories that I come across. You know, with Beast, it was a case where I felt there'd been so many serial killer movies that were either about the detective or about the perpetrator. And I was interested in this character that was on the periphery of that. It was the girlfriend of someone who's suspected of these series of crimes. And I wanted to put that person in the spotlight, you know. And I thought that their journey would be very epic and just as epic as the detective or the killer. And in this story, you know, Riz is playing a character that's been kind of wounded and traumatized and forgotten and has been left on the periphery of society. And I felt like he had a very epic journey that was continuing, even though, you know, no one knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe it's a theme that will continue throughout future films as well.
A lot of that influence comes from films, comes from fiction. But then just in the same way that I was pointing out, this blending of reality with the imagined, the real with the imagined, is any of this inspired from the news? Because there's so much in this film that kind of reminds me of so much that we're hearing about in the news, from, of course, pandemic times to conspiracy theorists to just the tumultuousness of these times.
Yeah, I mean, you never write a film in a complete vacuum. Like, intentionally or not, you're always going to, like, absorb what's going on in the culture, and it's going to be imbued in the material to some degree. I mean, a lot of it was already there in Joe's original script, you know, that there was this invisible enemy that was infecting the population. And he wrote that idea nearly 10 years ago. And we had no idea, of course, that we cut to 10 years' time, that there would be this plague ravaging the land and, you know, the population was becoming infected and you wouldn't know who. But then there were other aspects that were, I think, yeah, that I kind of, it was a response to what was happening in the culture. I think there were several school shootings happening when I was writing the script, and I was looking at American gun culture as an outsider and finding it, it's a very shocking phenomenon, you know, for us Brits and for a lot of other countries, the prevalence of firearms in America. And so I made a certain rule when I was writing the project that anytime someone pulled out a gun in the movie, they were going to exacerbate the problem. And it wasn't ever there to sort of, wasn't there as a solution. And that the sort of powerful weapons in the film were going to be compassion and understanding and communication. And that's not because I'm like a big moralizer. Like, I've enjoyed movie violence, you know, in some ways when it depending on the context. But it just felt for this film, it wasn't right and it wasn't sitting well with me, especially with regards to, you know, some of the things that were on the news. And then there were, yeah, other things, like you say, conspiracy theories or heavily militarized police response units that I was responding to as I was developing the script. But I'd say the main idea that Joe came up with, it was, you know, it was a decade before the pandemic hit us. And it was just strange that it started to reflect the world then.
Speaking of which, actually, we were talking about it earlier, the complexity of the character that Riz plays in this film. He is really, really complex when I think about it, because he's so ambivalent. I mean, traditionally, throughout the history of cinema, I guess, the figure of the hero would not have been questioned as much as perhaps it was in the 70s. But even now, I guess, in your film, he is placed in this situation where he could potentially be the unquestioned hero. But then as the story goes on, you see that there is more to it than that. Do you think that there's a reason why, and I'm asking you, obviously, as a filmmaker, there is this maybe honesty in portraying masculinity in these types of context, in these types of narratives?
Yeah, maybe, you know, there is a cultural conversation, of course, that's going on about masculinity, or, you know, a buzzword is toxic masculinity. And I think a lot of that, you know, is fascinating to see that evolve. And there's a kind of shift in the culture about what is a positive portrayal of, you know, masculinity. I suppose what maybe is different now is that there's more of an embrace, at least in films, where a kind of hyper-masculine character can show vulnerability, you know. And I was quite interested that be the climax of the movie. And that was going to be the hurdle that character had to get over, you know. That were, you know, he's so driven to protect his children, and the identities of being a protector and being a hero and being a savior are very powerful identities for Riz's character, but they've kind of trapped him as well. It's meant that he couldn't expose his vulnerabilities to anyone. And yeah, so whether, you know, I don't know if we would have made this film the same way if it was 10 years ago or 15 years ago. I think that's, you know, that there's, it's a kind of extra freedom that you have now, that you can have a richer portrayal of a male character on screen. Yeah.
And when you say trap, then do you also mean maybe trapped in expectations that people have of what, I don't know, a man is supposed to be, a man in his late 30s is supposed to have? At some point in the film, without giving much away, too much away, there is a character that lists things that he doesn't have and that could potentially make him dangerous. And I feel like a lot of people could identify with that.
Yeah, and it's maybe, I notice it's a generational thing as well. Like, I know that when I talk to friends about our parents, you know, that they, there's a certain threshold when it comes to talking honestly and candidly about your feelings or what you're going through, that is just very, you know, it's a very different threshold than that we have as a generation. But I'm sure for, you know, our parents, they were more, you know, liberated to talk about their emotions than at least their parents were. So it slowly opens up. And I'm sure the next generation are much more like in tune and engaged with speaking about, you know, mental health issues or any vulnerabilities that they have. But I think his character, I mean, me and Riz created a kind of rich backstory for his character from, you know, from when he was born and, you know, what drew him to go into the military and every stage of his military career. And what we landed on was that he was someone that was put into different foster homes and they weren't all good environments. And he never had a father figure to protect him. And he was very weak and he was very vulnerable and exposed, particularly being a South Asian kid in the area that he grew up. And so we thought that was a really interesting sort of origin story for the character. And the thing that drove him was that he was going to become the person that he never had when he was a kid. And he was going to become a protector. And that's what it was important to him. And as much as that's great and there's something noble in that, it's defined him too rigidly that he can't show weakness. And that's become his flaw. And he must need his children, the next generation, to he must expose that flaw to them to help heal that wound. And so he's kind of, I mean, it's so kind of those kind of backstories, which are really interesting, that me and Riz didn't want to explain in the script, in the film, and I only wanted to allude to it briefly in the script. But it's important for me and him to know, as the you know, actor and director, to know what's brought the character to that stage.
Interesting that you would say that. I'm actually running out of time now, unfortunately, so I only have time for one more question. But thank you for sharing that about, you know, telling us a little bit about what shaped his performance, because it is a complex character. I wanted to highlight, though, that in this complexity, the film does offer occasional chances to smile, too, because he is trying to be charming to the kids. Trying not to frighten them too much about the seriousness of the situation that they're experiencing together. And so I actually appreciated that as well. So just kind of briefly as a final note, how was that? Was it difficult to establish that dynamic with the kids too? Because essentially for a lot of the film, it's just the three of them and in an enclosed space in the car.
Yeah, I think it was really about making the right casting choices. You know, I can't remember which director said it, but I'm probably going to misquote them. But it was something to the effect of like 90% of directing is casting right. And once you've got the right actor in the right role, you know, and the chemistry works, then you can sort of stand back a bit and let the actors, discover it for themselves. And so it was really important for me when I was doing the casting process that I found a very, you know, personal and deep connection with each of them. And so my instinct told me that if I can connect with them and I found them very sort of genuine and generous actors and young men, then I thought that they were going to connect with each other. And so my job was to try and give them the space to discover that connection on set. And of course, working with children is, you know, it's a slightly different way that you've got to work. But for me, it was more about just giving them freedom than trying to coax a performance out of them. I wasn't trying to manipulate them to deliver a performance. I just wanted them to give them the freedom to find an authentic way to sort of explore the scene.
All right, Michael, well, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, man.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.